Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, I'm your host, Nicole Lee. I'm bringing you another edition of Healthy 365 here on YizerRadio.com. I hope everyone's having a wonderful, wonderful hump day or Wednesday evening. Staying warm, of course, where I am. It's very, very cold. So we'll do our best to keep each other comfortable this evening. Tonight we're going to talk about, is our food healthy and safety? Safe, I'm sorry about that. I had an incident this weekend where I was preparing food, and when I looked into it, I was just shocked at the way our food is regulated and how often there are things, extra additives, I should say, in our foods. I want to welcome everybody again to the show, and we'll go ahead and lead in to our topic. So I love to cook. To give you a little background on me, in addition to being a nurse and being a mom, I love to cook. And I'm preparing a wonderful meal, Sunday meal, for my family. And I love to add bursts of flavor. Anyone who's had my food, they know I'm very enthusiastic. I'm always finding ways to just give it that extra oomph, you know, but just put in that extra touch on it. My avid chefs and cooks out there would, you know, you definitely know what I'm talking about. You want your food to have flavor. You want people to close their eyes and just really feel the love that you're trying to bring into your food. So I'm preparing this wonderful meal, and I'm cooking turkey. I made some string beans, and I think I was making some macaroni. And I opened up a brand name can of stock, okay, and poured it into the pot and, you know, turned around to, you know, attend to like some onions or something I was sauteing. And when I looked over the pot before I added the next ingredients, there was something floating around in the pot. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, A, I know that my pot was clean. B, I haven't added any ingredients, so what is this added ingredient in my pot? Well, there swimming along in the pot was a tapeworm. Well, it looked like a tapeworm. And I was just like, oh, my first reaction, I was grossed out. So, you know, you immediately, you lose your appetite. And my next reaction, of course, I needed to tell somebody. And, you know, it ruined my appetite. You know, it really put a damper on things. So I ran over and I looked at the can, and I looked and I said, okay, I'm very, you know, particular in my kitchen. You know, everything has to be organized and be a certain way. So I looked at the date, and the date was good. The date was a year and a half from now. So I said, okay, so I'm good there. It doesn't expire until the fall of 2015. And then, you know, of course, I looked at the can. Is this the right brand? You know, because I'm a, you know, I trust certain brands. So, yep, this is the right brand. You looked in the can. Was there anything suspicious? Are there dents? You know, I remember seeing a program years ago on a popular talk show. Okay, there's no dents, you know, because I inspect my cans, you know. And I had purchased this, like a lot of people do, when stock is on sale. So when is stock on sale? A lot of times during the big holidays. And there's really not a bigger, like, food holiday than, of course, Thanksgiving. So I purchased this canned stock on sale at Thanksgiving. And, you know, because it was a good deal and I use it a lot. And so I threw it away, long story short, and made my own, like, you know, seasonings and everything based off of water. But it stayed with me. You know, it kind of, it felt invasive. It felt like, gosh, you know, I work really hard to provide for my family, and something like this could happen. I could be giving my family, you know, my children, something contaminated, you know, something that could make them sick. And I thought, does anybody else feel like this? And how often does this happen? And then I recalled, you know, you would hear the contaminations at maybe a restaurant. And then in the past few years, I know a lot of you have heard about recalls on food. You know, it seems like it's a lot more prevalent than it was. I don't know if that's because of regulations or just, you know, public awareness. Or are we in trouble here is what I started to think. You know, is our food safe? How do we know if it's safe, you know? And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight, and I'll let you know what I found through my research. So what I'm going to do is we're going to take a small little break. I'm going to go ahead and introduce a wonderful little jazz song. This song, it's one of my favorites. This is a Greg Caracas, and this is The Night Shift, and we'll be right back. I would like to invite any listener, of course, to share your story. If you've had an experience, whether it be a foodborne illness, whether you dined somewhere, or if it was from eating at someone's picnic or barbecue, or whether you yourself prepared something, or if you just have something similar to my experience, you're welcome to call in. Our guest line tonight is going to be 347-884-8705, and we'll be right back after this brief interlude. We're back, and I'm your host, Nicole Lee, with Healthy 365. Again, this is a health awareness show that's promoting education and consciousness of the mind, body, and soul. We also want to promote, you know, spiritual and emotional health. We like to talk about things that make you feel good, but also make sure that we're educated and we're aware. Tonight's topic, if you're just tuning in, is about food safety, food outbreaks, and just food health, or just for lack of a better word, what's in your food? If you missed it, the first few minutes of the show, I was sharing one of my personal stories. Recently, I had found a worm or something of that effect that appeared to be a tapeworm inside a canned food that I was cooking with. And so where we left off was, I was saying, is this problem common? You know, I thought about the outbreaks that I've heard of in the recent years, and what I found, astonishing enough, is yes. And furthermore, you'll be shocked to know that it's legal. Just to make sure that all the listeners that you have background, hopefully all of you have heard of the FDA, also known as the Food and Drug Administration. It sounds just as the name states. Their job is to, they are a governing regulatory body, I should say, that regulates our food safety for consumption. And they have laws and they have parameters for what makes food safe for consumption. For Americans, okay? So this is about our food supply. I mean, I want us to keep an open mind. I think it would be foolish to think that, you know, in the natural habitat and scheme of things, like if you garden or if you've ever been to an outdoor farmer's market, we know that, you know, bugs and critters do exist in the environment. But I think sometimes we often can feel a sense of false security. You know, it's so easy to feel that we are protected and we can take that for granted. And so one of the things I want to promote here is, you know, knowledge is empowerment. And you want to make sure that you know what to do to protect your family or just be aware, you know, because a lot of times, canned foods, I know a lot of us, they're affordable, they're cheaper, they're convenient, they're easy, you know, they're your go-to, you know, even if you don't base your whole meal off of a canned item, you know, it's certainly an added ingredient, especially for those that love recipes like myself. So I was astonished to find out that a lot of the insects and the parts of insects and rodent parts are in canned foods. And I know I've talked to friends and family, and so you hear people saying, oh, you know, there's added sodium in canned foods and they're not any good for you. Or they just say they're gross, you know. They're canned. You don't know how long they've been sitting there. Some people don't like the taste of canned foods. So you hear people saying, you know, buy frozen. Frozen is the way that I get my vegetables, you know, because if you're a single parent or, like, someone who works, you know, you can just grab these items and just make them, you know, prepare them really fast. So, unfortunately, the contamination crosses over to fresh produce and meat products and dairy products as well as the canned items. So it's not just a problem with canned foods. And so what I found out is that there are some very common creatures or critters that are in your foods, surprisingly enough. And the FDA has a way of regulating what is an acceptable amount of these items in your food. And this is something, you know, you of course you can reference on your own. It's called the Food Defect Action Level or Food Defect Action Levels. And what that means is it's the levels of natural or unavoidable defects, is what they're calling this, in our food supply. It means basically that present no health hazards, for the human consumption. Okay, so basically it's the stuff that they just can't avoid because, of course, our crops and our items, they grow out, you know, in the environment, and stuff happens, for lack of a better definition. And so these are acceptable levels of food contamination sources. I mean, it's important to know what this is. I mean, if you buy frozen spinach, you just want the frozen spinach and the wonderful natural vegetable juices. You're not really looking for the extra additives, like, you know, that's passable. So some of the examples of things that you may find would be maggots, little critters called thrips, fragments of insects, so little bitty insect parts, foreign matter, I guess, for lack of a better definition or category, it's just foreign matter. Maybe it's just of an unknown origin, I guess. Mold. Now, we know mold makes you sick. Rodent hairs, which is just disgusting. Insects and mammalian feces. So there's even feces. And there's certain acceptable levels of these items that are in your food, which means that, you know, they kind of have a little table that they go by, and it says, you know, per pound of this, this amount of, you know, this insect or this fecal matter or this rodent hair is passable for you to consume it. So, meaning the tapeworm that I found in my can of broth, it must have been in the passable batch. It tells the acceptable amounts of contaminants on a per-food basis. So, again, for example, it would be a ratio like per 1,000 pounds, this amount of this would be acceptable in that batch. Anything over that would deem it not, you know, it's not fit for consumption, okay? The bad thing is, as many of us know, we get allergic to things. Our system can't handle foreign things. Our body recognizes, and again, this kind of builds on what we talked about last week, our body's immunization. You know, we fight hard against, you know, feces, not a good thing, you don't want to consume it. You know, bugs, not a good thing. And so the problem lies in, it can actually contribute to allergies, food allergies, and asthma when you're consuming these things that they deem as passable or unavoidable in our food sources. So that's a great big issue. I want to make sure, and I'm going to also list it in my blog while we're talking about this, because I always want you to be able to do your own research. There's some great links that I'm going to share in my blog. I'll put it up tonight. Foodsafety.gov is a great link, okay? And that's the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration's website. And it'll actually list for you food safety, ways to keep yourself safe, because you'd be surprised how unsafe people are sometimes when they prepare food, and also food recalls, okay? Also, there's the cdc.gov/food safety, fsisusda.gov, and also the centerforfoodsafety.org. But then there's another great website called fightback.org, and it's an initiative on educating consumers about safe food. It is a great, great resource. I can't encourage you enough to visit these websites and really get educated on what's out there. What I would like to do is take another small interlude, and I'd like us to delve a little bit more into just how big of an impact this is in our country. Before we go to our break, I'll lead in with an interesting fact. The Center for Disease Control, which a lot of you may be aware with, they release these statistics all the time, they have released a study that says about 300,000 hospitalizations and 5,000 deaths every year are from foodborne illnesses. So that just lets you know how serious this is. And when we're talking about foodborne illnesses, we're talking about things where your food may be contaminated with something, like someone doesn't wash their hands and then there's nasty, maybe fecal matter on their hands, or there's some other things going on in the kitchen back there where they're preparing it, and that can cause you to be sick. Or, as you all know, there's appropriate temperatures for food. Like, what's a big one? Chicken, poultry. Chicken has to be cooked through. It's not one that you can have rare or medium rare. So there's an alarming amount of infections and illnesses that result in death. And surprisingly, a lot of it is from the bacteria Salmonella and E. coli, which are sources that are found in your beef, okay, the E. coli, and Salmonella is found in your poultry, so your chicken, undercooked chicken. Again, if you have a story of dining out and undercooked food, or if you've opened up one of your food packages and found a surprise, or just have an opinion on what we're talking about, or would just like to give some feedback, or just call in. You can call in on our line, and I'll provide that number for you again this evening, which is going to be 3-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1- Hold on, give me just a moment. You know what? Okay, the comment line is going to be 347-884-8705. I'm sorry about that. You guys bear with me. Having a little difficulty this evening. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and lead in with another great jazz tune. This is Jeff Kashiwa. I hope I'm saying that right. And this is his great tune, Hyde Park. And we'll be right back, and we'll be talking about the foodborne illnesses. So it'll also give you some good tips on how to stay safe too. All right, we'll be right back after this brief interlude. Healthy365 is proudly sponsored by damselindistress.com. If you're in Atlanta, Georgia, or Indianapolis, Indiana, and need home or business services like junk hauling, moving, carpet cleaning, residential or commercial cleaning, electrical, painting, drywall, or just a handyman to complete your to-do list, then let damselindistress.com be your helping hands. Call 888-769-2210 or log on to damselindistress.com. And be sure to use promo code Nicole to receive 5% discount on your services. That's 888-769-2210 or log on to damselindistress.com. And don't forget to mention the promo code Nicole to receive a 5% discount on all of your services. Good evening, everyone. We're back with another edition of Healthy 365. I'm your host, Nicole Lee. Today, again, just to recap, we're talking about food safety and foodborne illnesses. And I had just, before the brief interlude, I had discussed the surprising fact that a lot of our foodborne diseases, and that it was over 300,000 people that have been affected and 5,000 that have died, according to the reports from the CDC. I found a lot of these facts from the CDC report really, really interesting. It estimates that 48 million Americans, it says the CDC, get some sort of foodborne illness every year. That is a lot of people, 48 million. Just let that number sink in. And it says 128,000 of them are sick enough to go to the hospital. That's a lot of people. It says that a lot of the viruses are not even diagnosed properly. I know I and my family a couple years ago, we kept getting like a GI bug. And they gave that a name. In fact, I think I had got this last year from somewhere. I have no idea. They call it the norovirus. It's also known as the Norwalk virus. They said it's the main cause for the gastrointestinal upset. And again, we learned gastrointestinal last week. That would be your intestinal tract or your stomach. And it's the common culprit for the stomach flu. If you've ever been to the doctor or to a clinic and they said you have a stomach flu or winter vomiting disease, it was a major cause of illness contracted from raw vegetables is what these studies found out. So from raw vegetables, okay, something that's perfectly good for you is contaminated and can make you sick. And it could likely be the culprit if you've caught the stomach virus of the known as the Norwalk virus. Contaminated meat and poultry, it states, accounted for 22% of illnesses, and that's 29% of deaths. And it's important to know that in this report, they said over half of the contaminations, they said, were contributed to the consumption of raw foods. So this would be your vegetables, your salads, and things of that nature, because it's really, really hard, I guess, for them to, because you're not cooking it, you know, heating something up and cooking it to its temperature helps kill a lot of the bacteria. So that's pretty scary that your salad could be contributing to your illness. It's reported by the CDC that over 1,500 foodborne disease outbreaks occurred between the years of 2009 and 2010. That would mean that during those outbreaks, 29,444 people were sick during that time, and we lost 23 lives, so 23 people died. The common causes were the norovirus, which we've already talked about, salmonella, and surprisingly, I said chicken automatically. They're saying that salmonella was very prevalent from eggs and sprouts, tomatoes and peppers. And I love all those things. I mean, I love like food, period. I'm a foodie. They said also it was caused from, I'm probably going to, Campylobacter is found in unpasteurized dairy products. And E. coli, which we talked before about, is found in beef. And they said that 48% of all the outbreaks were from a single place, were from a single place and were traced to many restaurants and delis. And I know, I won't mention their name, of course, but there's a famous Italian restaurant, and I remember hearing a couple of months ago that there was a contamination in their salad, and they're known for their endless soup and salad, and there was this contamination in the bagged salad, okay, that they're with their signature salad dressing that they put on it. And then I remember a couple of years ago, I went into a sandwich place, and I'm like, let me get, you know, the hot cherry peppers on my sandwich. And they're like, oh, no, those have been recalled. And then the next year they recalled the sprouts from their turkey sandwich. So, I mean, this stuff is really real, and it's really making people sick. And that's just really sad that now we have to go without something or, you know, just subject ourselves to this. Like, how do you know? What do you ask your waiter? You know, is there any fecal matter on your salad today, or have you tested everything? Is everything safe? Has everyone really washed their hands? I don't know if any of you have, I think of the time where I went into like a fast food restaurant and it's disgusting. How many of you have ever experienced this? You go in, you run in, whether you're grabbing something to eat or you're traveling down the road, and you say, okay, let me just run in here. This is a well-known popular fast food chain. I know that they have to be clean because they serve thousands and thousands of people, right? So you run into the bathroom and it is the most disgustingest, smelliest place you've ever seen. And what do you see on the wall? This smelly, disgusting, disturbing sign, and it looks like it hasn't been cleaned since, like, what, the 80s, and it says all employees must wash their hands. And, you know, you think to yourself for a moment, should I really order a burger from these people? You know, should I just run from this place? But, I mean, just little things like that are indicators that, you know, maybe it may not be the cleanest environment if they can't even keep their bathroom clean, or, for goodness sake, if the sink isn't even clean enough for them to wash their hands to return to work. And it's a sad state of affairs when people don't wash their hands before they have to be reminded to wash their hands before they prepare your food. But back to the topic at hand. The foodborne illnesses were really prevalent in the last decade, I should say, and accounted for many of the illnesses. So what can you do? One of the things you can do, and I'll put this up on my blog, of course, would be when you're preparing food, you know, don't cross-contaminate. And when I say cross-contaminate, it would seem like it's common sense, but, you know, for a lot of us, you know, we get busy and we don't. One of the healthy things that I do when I prepare things, just so that I don't cross-contaminate, which is spreading, you know, maybe some, when I'm preparing meat, for example, I'm not going to use the same utensil that I would make my salad with or stir my sauce with. So typically what I try to do, I try to be as organized as possible, and that's one of the reasons why I said I'm a stickler about that in my kitchen. So one of the ways you can do that is have a plan. You know, I believe in lists and plans. So, you know, when you're going to prepare something, I kind of try to think it through. If I know I'm going to be handling meat, I will go ahead and I kind of think of it just like we do in the medical field, clean to dirty, okay, best practices. So if I'm going to be preparing like a vegetable dish or like a side, I typically try to start with those first. Like, you know, if I'm going to do a pasta, I'll go ahead and put my water on. If I'm going to do like a starch, like a rice, I'll go ahead and get that started. Then I'll do my vegetable. And then I try to kind of reserve what I'm preparing, like a meat-based item for those that are not vegetarians or vegans. You want to make sure that you're cleaning. I mean, I was raised in a household where we use bleach, okay? So we're going to, you know, that was a live animal at one point. So if you're preparing chicken, you want to wash your hands after you handle the chicken. You want to clean all of the surface areas, you know, clean the sink, you know, clean the counters and everything, and just make sure that, you know, you're containing it. I typically, you know, will take that out and do like a separate bag of trash right away because, you know, they're like blood and other things that carry bacteria and viruses. You want to make sure that you're cooking your food to the proper temperature. And again, I'll put on the blog about the appropriate temperatures for, you know, turkey, for lamb, for beef, for chicken. That's really important to make sure that you're doing that. Another thing that I find, and sometimes I'm guilty of it too, don't leave your food out. Like, don't leave it sitting out. You know, when you prepare dinner, I think a lot of us take for granted, like, a lot of the values that we had as a nation at one point. You see people or, you know, being portrayed, especially, like, on television as doing the dishes and putting the food away, because that stuff shouldn't be sitting out. You know, take out, you know, consume what you're going to consume and then put it right away. I'll put up some alarming studies, too, on how fast it takes for bacteria to start growing in your food after you've prepared it. You know, it's just like a little breeding ground for all types of bacteria, which can make you sick. Keep the refrigerated items refrigerated. If it's in question, just don't eat it. You know what I mean? It's just, it's more important to be healthy than to be sick, okay? Another great tip would be to, one of my things that I instill, I try to not, what's a nice way to say this? You can't eat everybody's food, okay? You don't know, first of all, how clean they are, okay? Let me tell you, Chris Rock said something really hilarious once, that a lot of times you meet people's representatives. Well, I'm here to tell you, you know, your classmates or your coworkers, a lot of times you're meeting the work them. You know, you're meeting the politically correct version of themselves. You have no idea what's going on behind closed doors. So Lord knows what they're doing. Did it have mold on it? Was it past the expiration date? Was it leftovers? I have some horror stories with that. I mean, I'm sure we've all had instances where we're pushed into potlucks and you're just, you know, you don't want to be rude, but you're like, I'm not going to eat that, you know? So how many of us have had that experience? But I would say for those that still patronize, like, buffets, I'm grossed out sometimes. I don't really even eat at buffets anymore. No pun intended for those that do. But, I mean, you know, be safe. You know, if the guy in front of you is, like, digging in his nose and wiping, or if you see they run up with a plate or they're touching all of the plates, you know, stay away maybe from I try to stay away from, like, mayonnaise-based dressings. You know, it's a lot healthier anyway to get the ones that are, like, you know, with the oil or the balsamic version, because it's less likely to spoil. You know, try to avoid cold cuts, that kind of thing, that may have been sitting there and they may not have been maintained at the proper temperature. Another thing to do, I can't stress this enough, wash your hands. Like, just when you think you've washed your hands again. Like, just wash them. You know, there's nothing worse. I think there's, like, a rule in my house. Someone will, I just washed my hands. No, when you enter my kitchen, you need to wash your hands. So you always want to make sure you wash your hands. And you need to do it long enough. You need to use friction and vigor and really wash your hands. The front and the back, the nail beds, everything. Wash your hands. And dry them. Dry them. Because if you don't dry your hands properly or thoroughly, that also picks up. It's like a little magnet for all these little icky things that are around in the environment. Let's see some other good tips that you can certainly do. I'm an avid, I love beef. How many people love steak? I love steak. Well, do it at your own risk. For those that just like you're seared and rare on the inside, you of course know that you are opening yourself up to consumption of a foodborne illness. I mean, I do it all the time. Or medium rare or medium. Know that that's a risk because it's not cooked to the proper temperature to reduce the risk of bacteria. And we don't even know how safe the food was to begin with or whether it was really ripe or old or whatnot. We're also going to talk, not next week. Next week's show will be about something different. But I wanted to mainly talk about, like, the things that can be found in your food, but I also have some great research on investigative reports about deceptive practices that are going on with our food industry. So we'll talk about that too. But I wanted our main focus to be, being that this is our second show, to be about, you know, safety, safe food handling, you know, the fact that, hey, you might find a worm or something in your food, but it's okay because the FDA says it's okay. So maybe you just consume the food in that one particular batch. No, I know, not funny, not funny at all. I'll have the links, too, to these wonderful articles, too, so you can kind of see there's a great slideshow and everything. But, too, I also wanted to kind of, like, I don't want to gross anybody out, okay? I mean, the reality is we all have to eat rice. We all have to eat, you know, salad. We all have to eat vegetables and fresh fruits. So there's no point in grossing anybody out and making you think that, like, all hope is lost. But I think the important piece, too, is the foodborne illnesses, because the reality is, okay, they say that in our, every year we consume about, I don't know, 2 pounds of bugs just from the environment, I don't know, opening your mouth or something flying into your food and then what's just in your food. So, you know, you've already consumed, however old you are, you do the 2 pounds times your years, and that's how much you've consumed in your lifetime and you're still living. But I think an important piece was about food handling and, you know, being knowledgeable about where to go for food recalls and why that happens. And some of the causes of it, you know, we forget it can happen from our own home or from things we consume, like I said about, like, at the potluck. So I really want to promote education and awareness here. This, I don't want anybody to ever feel like all hope is gone or to freak out about something. We're just promoting awareness and knowledge, and then we want to empower you on what you can do and where to go get the knowledge from so that you're a smart consumer and you're a health advocate and you're proactive about all aspects of your life and your health and your well-being. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and take another brief interlude and we'll go ahead and wrap it up. We are going to introduce our inspirational quote of the week and we'll go ahead and close out the show. Let's pick things up with a classic. Hello, Move On Up is like an amazing song, and Richard Elliott did a great rendition of this song. So here's Richard Elliott's take on Move On Up, and we'll be back after this brief interlude. Good evening, everyone, and we're back here in the last final minutes of our wonderful show tonight, talking about food health and food safety. I am going to gross you out a little bit because I'm a stickler for facts, whether they're gross or not. Earlier, I had mentioned some of the actual items that are in your food, so I'm going to elaborate on that a little bit more just because it tripped me out so much that I have to share it. Okay, for those that love apple butter, which I love, canned or frozen asparagus, frozen broccoli or Brussels sprouts, there is a wonderful 1/8 of an inch insect called, it's a wing parasite called a thrip that's in your food. And they're saying, like, these are the common things that are in these items. For those of you that love spinach, okay, the Brussels sprouts and broccoli as well, it also is subject to a little critter called aphids, A-P-H-I-D-S. That's disgusting. Mites, okay, they're tiny little white bugs, and they're commonly found in our grains and our wheat. But they can also be an issue for someone who suffers from indoor allergies, and they're also found in your frozen foods. Okay, this is the big one, and this is what was in my food. Any canned food that you consume, they're saying that will contain maggots, okay? They're found in, very prevalent in canned mushrooms, which I don't like, canned tomatoes, tomato paste, pizza sauces, and my favorite, especially for those of you that like to have an alcoholic beverage, those that like those fruity drinks, frozen or fresh maraschino or maraschino cherries, which is gross. They're saying that there are 20 maggots that are allowed for every 100 grams of drained mushrooms, and there's 1 to 5 for every 500 grams of tomato products. The wonderful fruit fly, you know, they can be found on your produce, your fruit, but you simply can remove it by washing it. However, citrus juice, those wonderful, convenient frozen fruit juices in a can, or the frozen juices that parents consume or you make drinks with, maybe your local bartender, they're saying that you are consuming this is about 5 fruit flies for every 8 ounces of juice that you consume. They said for a handful of raisins, you're eating about 35 fruit fly eggs, so that's pretty gross. The corn earworm, it buries into the actual cob, the corn on the cob. They said it's larvae and skins and skin fragments are found in your wonderful sweet corn in a can, which is just gross because that's our favorite here. And for black-eyed peas, I know a lot of us love black-eyed peas. There's something called the cowpea that plagues peas, especially black-eyed peas. And caterpillars are found in our spinach, especially frozen spinach, which we just had today. So isn't that wonderful? So those are just some really fun, gross little facts about what's found in your food. I wanted to touch quickly on some of the really common food outbreaks. Jack in the Box had a big E. coli outbreak in 1992 where their hamburgers that they were selling was contaminated. Odwalla apple juice had an issue where due to pasteurization, apparently they were selling this apple juice and it was infected with E. coli because they weren't pasteurizing it. So I remember that was a big thing about, you know, promoting education for the community about consuming pasteurized juices and dairy. Hudson Beef had a big E. coli recall in 1997 where they had to recall 20 million pounds of beef. And I guess they were providing food to the big food chain Burger King. So Sara Lee had one of the largest meat recalls in history in 1998 when listeriosis, I'm probably not saying that right, was it attributed to 21 deaths. There were more than 100 cases of illnesses. It was found in their hot dogs and their deli meats. Spinach. Many of you remember the spinach recall in 2006. I think it was contaminated with E. coli. That seems to be a favorite here. Peter Pan peanut butter was contaminated in 2007 with salmonella. Let's see. And for all of you that are pet parents or have wonderful pet friends that are a part of your family, there was the largest pet recall of pet food. And this chemical actually is called melamine. It contaminated the wheat gluten that they add to the food, and I know a lot of us are being a lot more conscious about what we feed our pet kids, okay, the pet parents out there. It actually could cause kidney failure. I remember at the time we still had a dog, and we were just so afraid that he was going to be sick. Westland Hallmark Meat had a recall in 2008. It looks like their cows passed initial inspection, but they were too sick to even walk before slaughter. So if that doesn't make you want to be a vegetarian, I don't know what does. There was a tomato recall in 2008 due to a rare form of salmonella, and the top one was the peanut product recall. In January of 2009, it had deadly salmonella from the Peanut Corporation of America. And it resulted in 600 cases of illnesses. Again, I'll have the links on my blog along with some healthy tips. I want to make sure that we talk about our positive quote for the week. This quote is by Marcia Wider, and the quote says, "Commitment leads to action. Action brings your dream closer." So above anything, beyond dreaming and being positive, we want to make sure that we act, you know. It's been wonderful having you all listen today, and it's been wonderful having your support for our show here at YizerRadio.com, and we're going to grow as a family and hope to grow our listening audience. I want you to keep in mind that our goal here is for you to be participants, I should say, and be proactive in your life, being your own advocate, speaking up, having the knowledge that you need, and being motivated to be involved, to want to know more, to have the tools to give yourself the best life possible. I can't promote enough that health provider or doctor-patient relationship. Again, if you have any questions or anything that you're going through, of course we want you to seek that medical advice from your health provider. That's one of the most important relationships that you have in your life. So we want to make sure that you're doing that. I'd like to leave you all with another wonderful song, and tune in next Wednesday night at the same time, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 Eastern Standard Time, where we're going to be talking about diabetes and pre-diabetes. I know it's a very prevalent condition in my family, and I'm very passionate about it. So be sure to tune in, and you can certainly call in with any of your personal stories. I hope everyone has a wonderful evening. We'll see you next.